Hello, Sexy Sunday. It's the best day of the week because I get to share a convo with you about sex, relationships, and being the most free and confident version of yourself. I'm big on making my own rules and normalizing these kinds of conversations because I believe that the more we talk about it, the better sex we're all going to have because we'll be more educated and hornier. We walk around and hardly broach this topic in our normal lives, but I'm trying to change that. This is storytelling that's entertaining as hell, that will leave you laughing and gasping, introducing ideas that'll change you and break you open to celebrating your sexy self. Come with a curious head and brave heart, and let's play. I'm Bonnie Weeks, and this is gonna be fun.
Thank you, Darla, or whoever the cloud's name is. Okay.
I like Darla. Darla works.
Thank you,
Darla. I hate your stinking guts. You make me vomit.
You are scum.
Scum between love alfalfa.
Yeah.
Jeez, I miss the 90s.
Ugh. Oh, such a good movie. Such a good movie.
One of the best.
Alfalfa, man.
I used to know it word for word. The Little Rascals, yeah.
Yep.
The newer version, yeah, word for word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Technically, welcome back, right? I've been here before.
Welcome back. Well, yes, like, let's get to this. Welcome back to the podcast. I mean, you were episode number 4 as a recap. And I mean, we've talked about sex so many different times in some several different sorts of contexts. And so to have you still be here and for us to like continue conversations both online, I was going to say offline, but I guess everything's online if we live far apart. So just live time versus,
you know, the only way, you know, the only way we haven't talked about sex in person.
That's true. Actually,
the only way we actually have not had this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, the main reason we have not had sex.
True. Let's get that out of the way at the beginning. Or maybe not out of the way, just in the way.
Right. It's in the way technically because we haven't gotten it out of the way.
Because we haven't had sex yet. So we're still talking about sex.
So we're still talking about it. Here we are.
I still think we'd be talking about sex.
Yeah, for sure. I think it'd be a different context, though.
True.
Slightly, at least slightly.
Yeah.
I'd say that based on the conversations we've had, the private online conversations we've had. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if we'd be like on the podcast so very like, hey, as a matter of fact.
Or maybe we would. I don't know.
Maybe
we would.
Right. That's fair.
You know what? Like, I've talked about this with several people, and I don't know, it'd be interesting to get your take on this, but I was like, you know what? I think at this point in the game, if it's a game, why not? Everything's a game. This life game. At this point in the game, I'm like, you know, if I'm going to, like, have sex with people, I want to have sex with people who are, like, one, cool. Like, let's have them be cool people. But, like, have them be people that I'm just like, we could be friends regardless of sex or not. I'm like, these are people who are doing cool shit. I'm like, I want to be able to show up in the room with these people. And if sex was a part of that with folks, then like, that just makes it that much cooler, that much like, I don't know, just that there's like this nuance of like, how do we exist in a room or in a society or in like friendships with people? And is and can sex just be like an added bonus of a way that we get to interact with each other?
An added bonus of the way that we get to interact with each other. That's such an interesting phrase that I've asked that question many times and received a lot of backlash for thinking that way. But I've thought that way for a while. Like, I'm like, I think we place a really high value on sex, and I understand why. Like, I get the perspective. But I also think that sometimes people like, they load their relationships with whether or not sex is involved too heavily, with or without. It's like, there's not a sex in this relationship. It's like, oh, it's not that important. I've never had sex with them. And if they have, it's like, oh, well, it's important, super important now because we've had sex. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that, I think that's a slight miscalculation in a sense, you know, like just mostly in the sense that like, I think there is a such thing as like somebody saying like, I know that this relationship, as far as like, even if it's somebody who I'd always be like welcoming in my space, like this isn't going to go beyond like a friendship. Now I'm willing to welcome sex into that friendship, but I understand that it would still just be a friendship. Like there are people who are really like that. Like I'm one of those people. I can absolutely do that. And I shouldn't say can, I have, like I have friends who I've had sex with that we're still friends.
Yeah.
And like, I won't act like the relationship doesn't have a shift or that nothing changes in the relationship, but it doesn't diminish it in a way. Like I think everybody thinks like, oh, it's going to be bad afterwards. I'm like, I disagree. Like I've experienced differently. Same. Like there are literally women in my life who genuinely support me that I've like had sex with at points. And I think one of the things that gets misconstrued is like a lot of people like have sex with people at inappropriate moments. Maybe like if you're not willing to be honest with somebody, you probably shouldn't be fucking them. But if you're honest with them, there's not a whole lot of bad blood to be left, regardless of how the relationship goes after that. Like, that's what I found. I'm really honest. So with, especially with people I'm being that intimate with, I don't say like, I'm not some perfect like saint in this regard, but I just do my best to be like transparent. So people don't get surprised by shit that I, especially the stuff that I know is going to like affect them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, last time we talked, we were going into summer season last year and we talked a lot about hoe energy.
Yeah. I had a whole hoe phase. It was great. It was great in the sense that it lasted just as long as it needed to. It was pretty quick, but I was like, I literally was meeting women and they'd be like, oh yeah, getting to know me. And I'm like, before, right when I felt that energy of like, oh, I think there might be some interest here, especially on their behalf. I'm like, as soon as I noticed it, I'd be like, let me just like let you know something real quick. I'm going through like a hoe phase right now. So that's a thing. That's where I'm at. Just wanted to make sure you knew, because like, it's not something that I would recommend you trying to change. It's just where I'm at. And like, so we can just be cool. Like, it's fine. I'm not asking for anything. I'm not looking for anything more than you're willing. I'm just making it clear. Like, that's where I'm at. And I had several experiences where it was like, okay, thank you for letting me know. And it was like, all right, we're just cool. Great.
Yeah.
Some experiences where it was like, thank you for letting me know. Let me like think on that. And then, you know, by the end of the night, they're like, okay, I've taken that into consideration. I want to see. I want to know what it's about. Let me see. Let me figure. Let me, yeah, run that. I want to try that. Let's take it for a spin. And then I'll decide. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I literally had one woman be like, okay, look. And we had a different relationship from before this. Like, I know her mom. Her mom was like, you know, very, and like high schoolishly wanting us to date or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I'm honest. I'm like, Miss V, I love you, but I'm honest. I'm not in the space to like date nobody seriously. So I wouldn't even do your daughter like that. And then, but the way it all happened and played out is like me and her daughter ended up DMing each other. And she's like, hey, you want to like come to this concert with me? I'm like, sure. And I'm like, I'm just going to go to a concert with her. No big deal. She was like, I wasn't even going to ask you. I was just like, didn't want to go by myself. I'm going to go by myself. But I'm like, nah, I'll go. Like, let's go to the concert. I'm like, we can grab a drink before, whatever. So we go grab the drink. And as we're sitting there, I'm just like, you know, we've met before. So it wasn't first time meeting, but we're sitting there, we're talking. I felt the vibe. I'm like, before you say more, ho phase, that's where I'm at. And she was like, huh. Okay. And then after the concert, she was like, so ho phase, huh? And I was like, yep. And she was like, I want a taste. I'm only going to do it just this one time. It'll just be tonight. Like, I'm not going to be able to do it for real, but I want to know. And I was just like, that was so like amazingly direct.
Yeah.
And it was in a way where it was like, you know, everybody got to do what they wanted that night, but nobody felt obligated to do anything they didn't want.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
You know what? I think I love having conversation with you because of the way you own the fuck out of what you want. And because you're like, hey, there's vibes here, because like we all can feel the vibes. Okay. Maybe some people
little off
on it easy. Like, I think there are some people that might not realize it. I mean, I've talked to people who are like, yeah, I don't think it, like, I don't know when people are hitting on me. I don't know. And I'm just like, they are, like, they're 100% like that. Like, I just think that they're being nice and being friendly. I'm like, okay. Like, there could be that too.
I recognize that people think people are being friendly, and some, like, okay, if it's a woman to a man, that is maybe likely. If it is a man to a woman, it is highly unlikely. If he's not married or in a deep relationship, or already, if there's not a situation where you're already like in some sense of community where you're going to have to deal with each other, and he's just being randomly really nice, going out of his way, maybe, it's like, that's most decent guys attempt at flirting. Like, that's the way that a guy who's like not trying to be invasive, but also is trying to be pretty forward, like, that's an attempt at flirting. It's like, all right, if I go out of my way to make it clear to you that I'm like, hey, I'm trying to show you how nice I am, or I'm trying to show you like the type of like the way I show up in a way. Right. It's like, that's kind of what people do. For women to men, it's like, I often, like, to my friends anyway, I'll be like, it works the same way. But like, for us, you got to look for repetition. Women are a little bit more like thoughtful about it than we are. And y'all are a little bit more like, observe, decide, and then like more very specific, like, I want that. So it's like, you got to kind of watch for the rhythm. It's like, if she hugs everybody, but it's like, she makes sure to squeeze you extra tight, it's like, well, everybody else noticed that. So what are you not paying attention to that everybody else noticed? If she doesn't hug anybody and she gets there and suddenly she's like, hey, it's like, oh, I've never seen her hug anyone before. I wonder what that's about. You know, it's like, it's the subtle stuff. Like, there's always this. Yeah. I'm the type of person, I'm always looking for that. Like, I'm so curious about people. I want to know everybody's relationship situation. I'm just nosy in that way. But I'm not nosy enough to go ask. I'm just nosy enough to like study. I like to try to get to know people.
Yeah. I mean, this is why I have a podcast. I want to know. Tell me your stuff. I think I like that you're talking about like the way that, you know, maybe dudes are going to like kind of approach women. And yeah, I mean, and you said if they're married or not, but I don't know, from my experience, it doesn't matter if they're married or not.
Yeah, like, that's true. Gonna be, well, like, you live in Portland, Bonnie.
No, but I'm saying online even though.
I know, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. That was a Portland joke.
True. But for women, like, I've talked to some friends too, being like, you know, they're like, well, how do I let them know? How do I let them know that I'm into them or not? And I you like touch. Like, you do not have to grab, like, don't reach and grab his crotch. Like, come on. Like, just like, it can be so gentle with like fingertips on an arm. You don't have to full hug somebody, but like how much you lean in, like literally lean towards somebody, or like stand on the foot closer to a person, like how close you are to them, like all of these, like, and truly like small touches. If you like touch somebody's arm or their shoulder, or like, let your leg fall against their leg. Like, it can be like small things.
That's the one, really. Like, that's the one that I've noticed women to use more often. It is very much the, like, the difference between the moment of like, we're sitting next to each other for an hour. For the first 15 minutes, you're like, we're sitting next to each other. And then for the second interval of 15 minutes, we're like shoulder bumping. And then for the third interval, like, suddenly your knee is on my knee. And the next thing I know is like, your hand is like, the outside edge of your hand is suddenly on my thigh. And I'm like, wait, when did you scoot so close? Like, what happened? That's how women do it. That's why I tell guys, I'm like, it's like, yo, it's usually like, it's repetitive. Like, there's a rhythm to it. That if you're paying attention, like, you gotta really pay attention. Like, that's, I think that's why I've gotten good at seeing it for guys, because guys are a lot more like obvious and direct. And from paying attention to women, I see guys doing it a mile away. Like, I can tell if a guy walks in the gym and finds a woman attractive enough where he feels like he wants to say something about it, I'll be able to tell as he makes the approach across the room. There's a look we give in our face. Like, our faces do this. It's very like lioness. It's like the slow watch. You're like
to see your face right now.
That's like, it's like that. You literally, you're watching so intently, you can't help but like, I could be
there's
talking.
Like, no to eye you. Shifting. You're just like staring down. You're like, don't.
And I could be talking to you. I could be talking to you, And if that person is like walks in or what, I'm like, yeah, Bonnie, but I mean, like, I hear everything you're saying, but like,
there goes your
and the thought focus. it just dwindles. Like, I could see it from across the room. It's so obvious. We make the same dumb look.
Yeah. But you know what I love? Like, even in this conversation of like how men are approaching or how women are approaching, and this is like very generalized. Of course, there's like, for sure, you know, all other sorts of existences between people and stuff and the way people approach. But to like put this into like on the ground within your experience you've already shared, where you approach people and you're like, hey, like, I'm in ho energy time right here. And for like this last individual, right, where she was like, I'll try that once. Like, let's do that, you know? And when there can be this consideration of like the other person and how that might affect them and what they're like coming with, like, you're not waiting for permission and you are saying what you want. And you're making it really clear. You're giving everybody an out. You're not telling anybody what to do, but you're mm-hmm. like standing in yourself, be like, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm interested in. Like, just so you know. And in my own journey, and like, I'd even say like, even up until today, like there's even a time to this morning where I was like talking about some things to my lover. Right? I was like, just the amount of permission that all of us give each other when we are willing to own what we want. And to share that. And if like, if we're going to generalize and say, okay, a dude has the look in his eyes, he's going across the gym. There's plenty of memes and conversations about like, dudes, don't approach a girl at the gym. Like, just like give her some space. Mm-hmm. Somebody, mm-hmm. You're like, hold on. Like, wait for the repetition, wait for like some sort of feedback. Right. Yeah. For the gym in specific, but just that if a dude is going to approach somebody, and also like, I guess I want to say like maybe for the ladies or people who, or anybody who feels less inclined to go after what they want or to really say what they want, is like to use experiences like yours to be like, well, damn, Marcus just like was willing to say what he wanted. And then people were able to respond to you. And maybe that gave them the power that they maybe wouldn't have otherwise voiced to say, actually, I want this because he did it. Now other people are doing it. And like the chain reaction we give each other when we like stand up for what we want.
Yeah. I 100% would say I witnessed that on several occasions. Like, I didn't tell every story, but like a lot of those times it was like, whatever boundary someone was setting or relieving themselves of, it was very much a personal choice that it was like they felt free to do, because I'd basically lifted the taboo by saying, hey, you know that thing everybody talks so bad about? That's what I'm doing right now. I know that about myself. And the other thing is, my persona that I've developed and curated on social media is one where people would not assume me to present in that way. But well, I could think I was kind of marrying two things where I was like, hey, I didn't act like I didn't have this in me on social media. I've simply presented myself as someone to be honest and transparent. And this is what that looks like in real life. Like, on social media, it's curated. Like, I know if I said this to the world, people would be like, oh, wow, he's a yoga teacher talking about being in his whole phase. That's a lot. And I'm like, I have to be delicate with how I deliver that. But in a regular conversation, the way I'm going to deliver is like more keen to my personality, which is pretty blunt and direct. I'm like, yeah, this is what it is. I'd rather you have permission to like tell me, hey, that's not going to be cool with me, or I can't even respect that up front. Because then I'm like, I don't want you to be fooled later when you figure out who I am. Everybody figures out who each other are eventually. I'm like, I don't like people figuring out who I am. I'm like, I'll just tell you.
Right, and then own the story.
And when you figure out that I meant it, then people say things like, you okay? And I'm like, what? And they're like, nothing. You said something and you meant it early. And I'm like, yep, sure did.
So what's your current sex life like?
Oh, it just got a little restart just recently, actually. If I'm being super honest, it was very much on pause. It was like very personal for a little bit, because I was like, I hadn't had sex this year until this week. Yeah. So
winter.
Yeah, winter. But it was like, it was a hibernation energy that needed to happen. And you know what's wild, Bonnie? We had a conversation recently where I was like, there are things, and I'm like, I'm almost like not even fully ready to be like, okay, this is what I did. Cause I'm like, ah. I'm like, whoa. But we had a conversation recently about things in this family of sex play. And I was like, yeah, there's like some stuff I want to explore there, but you know, I got to see, like, it's got to make sense. I need a partner. And I had a partner, like, basically genuinely, like, I would say, like, kind of turn me out the other night. Like, and I was like, oh my. And I believe I had like my first actual orgasm, not coming. Like, you, as a guy, it's like very obvious when you come because shit comes out. But like an orgasm, like full body shake, freeze, like tingle, like burst of energy, like went from like basically tired to like up and like, oh, we're about to have sex now. Yeah, it's on. From like literally like, are you sure you really want to do this right now? Like, it was orgasmic. I was like, literally. And you know, 30 however many minutes later, we're like still going. I'm like, yo, that was great. And I could still feel like reverberations of it. I'm like, yo, that still feels good. Like, wow. So that's what my sex life is like right now. I've only had sex twice this year, and it's been two of the better experiences I've ever had.
That's incredible. Well, okay, let's talk about this. So you're defining, especially for anybody who has a dick, that like, okay, stuff coming out, not, you're not calling that orgasm.
No, definitely not. And this is a new phrase. Like, this is something I'm now newly differentiating from a brand new experience. It's like, I believe that maybe orgasm is possible through the act of coming, but I know that the act of coming in itself can be separated from orgasm. And I think for most men often is. Like, coming as a male-bodied penis owner, coming for me depletes my energy usually. Like, unless it's really great sex where there is an energetic like cycling that I can feel, 9 times out of 10 actually coming will deplete my energy. Even if just for a little bit, like, you know, given the right space and environment, I'm, you know, quick nap or whatever, I feel great soon, but like there's a moment of depletion. That was different. It was elating without any kind of sense of depletion. Like, I didn't feel, it wasn't like something was leaving me. Like, I think about it like scientifically a lot. Like, when we come, like the fluid that literally assists the production of life leaves our body. So if it's in our body, it's still producing life. We're feeding on that energy. Once it leaves, it's gone. It's gone to create another life or whatever you put it, you know, wherever it goes. Down in the trash can or the tissue or wherever the fuck you put it, whatever. So it's like, really, I shouldn't say that. Not in a tissue or trash can. We're grown people. Go get a warm towel, please. Go wipe that lady down with a warm towel. Jesus. Can't believe I actually had to say it, but warm towel. Not hot, though. Vagina lips are sensitive. Not hot. Warm. AKA, run it real hot over the towel. Run some cold water on top. Squeeze it out. Perfect. Been doing this a long time. Back to what I was saying. But seriously, though, like, literally, I feel depleted afterwards. Like, there is life essence leaving the body. This was different. This felt like somebody put a battery pack in me through my penis. Well, they were working on something in an area between, but regardless, they were in the special area. Guys, your G-spot's not on your dick. I know, it's sad to hear this. It's so sad to hear this because we really love our dicks. We're really attached to them. Like, they do a lot with us. They go through a lot with us, but they're the only person that looks back every time we look at them. It's just like, it's a thing. It's a thing, I know, guys, but guess what? Yeah. He's not your best friend. There's something better. There is literally something better. All the shit that you've ever heard is like, especially once you get over the whole like, hey, everything in this area beyond this area is gay. I'm like, ah, damn it. Okay. They really.
So you're talking about, did you hear prostate palpitated?
Not like
they're palpitated.
I mean, like kind of close. Like,
yeah.
Like there's the gooch and then there's like because the Gucci is like the runway. But if anybody ever runs to the end of the runway, they touch something like right before you get your prostate palpitated. It's like, there's something there that's like.
Are you talking about like the anus or like before that? Or
just before. Like just before. There's some, and just before, and I could probably tell that like if you kept going like to the anus for sure, it's going to be like even more intense. And that's why I'm like, ah, I'm not going to give y'all all the juicy details, but like.
No, but I think this is, I mean, it's kind of like as a non-penis person, right? Like if I have, am I am like touching a dude and like the base of a dick goes way past the balls. Like that goes all the way down. If you were to like look at a cross section, and I actually took a screenshot, so I was looking at it with one of my kiddos, of like the pelvis and the dick and the balls and whatever anus of a dude's anatomy, like the connective tissue for the base of the penis and the anus are right next to each other. And if like a, if you're erect, then really you can feel down between the legs and that space between like balls and anus, like you can feel
there's like something there that is like pulsating. There's well, like blood
running if through. You like follow it up, like it's connected. It's like it's the it's whole all thing. It's your dick. Like what? It's all connected in there.
So basically, I guess I had someone give extra special attention to the actual base of my penis. Yeah. That was a thing. Like whoa.
Yeah. But I think, you know.
But it's a hyper vulnerable space though. It's not like something that
sure.
Like it's the equivalent of basically saying like, okay, like nobody's reaching that area without you basically being comfortable with them kind of being like very much in your crotch, like all right. Not like your crotch the way guys think of it, like where they're like, oh, this is cool. Like, no. Like the way we are in women's crotch, like that.
Yeah. You're like
we go. Yeah. Like, but, I was seeing not, guys going like this. That's not what's happening. We're going.
You're going down under.
We're scuba diving.
Scuba diving, yes. Well, and not all dudes that I've been with have been comfortable with that sort of attention as well, yeah. Regardless of, I think it's like, it's not even like, sure, there can be like maybe fear of asshole play or getting near it as like, off limits, all yeah. sorts of cultural or shame sorts of stories perhaps that people might be carrying. But like aside from that, I think even just that permission or that vulnerability, right? Like that, like, oh, can I let myself actually enjoy that? Can like, is that even a place for me? Like that's not what happens to dudes. Like that's not, you know, all those yeah. sorts of things.
Which is like wild. I'm like, who told us that then? That who told us that, who was so good at sex and had such a great sex life and was so loved by women that we were like, yo, they must be right. I'm like, nobody.
Mm.
Like I don't know a single man who has advised me against trying anything with a woman or said anything about trying anything with a woman being gay that has a sex life that I really respect. I just don't. And like, I know some who told the stories and like other men might respect it because they've done more than they have. I've had the pleasure of like doing a lot of the fun shit, but also being honest about it and being able to like maintain relationships with these people. Like all the people I've had threesomes with, I'm still cool with them. Only like one of them maybe. And no, all of them would still like be, we're all still cordial.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That hits a little different than just people being like, yeah, I did it, but you know, they hate each other now. I'm like, that's stupid. No.
Yeah.
I'm like, none of us have problems. We shouldn't. Like, you're not supposed to have like super fun times with people, and then it's like, oh, it's a shit show now. But that was fun. Like, no, it's not. It's not really.
Yeah. I think this also, though, all taps into like, do we do something to somebody? Are we doing something to get something, or are we doing it with someone? And so this experience where you're just like, oh my gosh, my whole entire body was like lit up like everywhere. And it wasn't about you trying to get anything or do something to somebody. It was like this experience with, and yeah. like the focus of that being like the thing between you two
or I'll take
whoever
it.
Many people, right?
I'll tell you this though. Even beyond, like, it was definitely an experience of doing this with, but the other thing that made me, I think, be vulnerable enough to just have the experience, it felt like somebody was doing for me. Mm-hmm. It felt like service. and not in a weird like way where it's like, oh, I don't deserve. It felt like just willing service.
Yeah.
Like genuine service. I was like, this is like for me, huh? Like, yeah, like this is really for me. This is someone showing me how they would like to literally, like, I think about it, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to devour this person, this moment. Like, I want them to feel all of this. I want them to,
yeah.
And like, that's what it feels like. I was like, wow, that was like, it was different. Different.
Yeah.
Being serviced in that way was so like, it was like, you know, it makes you feel a little like royal in a way. Like for a moment, you really feel all of your divine, like, whatever.
There's a sense of power in it.
Yeah. Like a very powerful feeling.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about on both sides. Like I've definitely had that experience where I have felt that, like you said, royal. Like you're like, I think like there's like a certain sort of service, a certain sort of worship, a certain sort of like attention that's being given. And also like that experience of gifting, and that's what it feels like gifting that to somebody else. And I think especially like gifting it to a man, I think there's something that feels really powerful to me to do that. And like the story of, I don't know, there's like such different types of stories out there in the world right now about men and women and like the dynamics between men and women and masculinity and femininity and all the things. And I love that you were, right before we started recording, I think this kind of ties right into it, where you're, you know, like your kind of conversation as somebody who I would say is a leader. Like I call you a leader within like, especially the yoga space and like this space of having these conversations too. I mean, at least in the social media sort of sphere as well. But you're talking, like, you know, you were sharing with me about self-love and putting, you know, quote unquote, like me first, especially for Black men. And as I think about my experiences with men and the Me Too movement, right. Or about like there's like a big call of like giving women opportunities that men have had for a long time, like women finding some sort of strength that they haven't had. And there's a lot of places in the world that women don't have the opportunities that I might have here, especially as a white woman in America. And so like, yes, that's true. But also I think like I have sons too, right? Like I have brothers, I have my dad, I have like these other, I have other, my lovers, you know, I have like people in my life that are like, but these men are powerful as fuck. And like, how did they know that? How did they know that? And how can I, as a woman, like gift them my attention and passion and like infuse that, if like sex can be like a tool for that in a way, and be like, let me worship your body for a minute and let me tell you about how powerful you are.
Yeah.
That you've had that.
Yeah.
You're writing that right now.
I think more of the men in the world and the ones I know in my life, I know they need it. Like, you know, I know they need even just the experiential knowledge to know that it exists, like that, you know, there's a space for you to be worshiped in a sense. There's a space for you to be cared for in this way, like genuinely taken care of. Like, I think a lot of men get stuck in the, like, I got to take care of people thing. Like, I know I do. And that was one of those moments where I was able to surrender to being taken care of. And that's powerful. Like, if somebody who takes care of a lot of fucking people, I got up today, like, with a spark under my ass. Like, yo, we are gonna get to it today. Like, it's so much easier to, like, do whatever you do to care for your family and to do the things that you've committed yourself to and to be accountable and uphold your integrity when you feel like, yo, somebody gives a shit that I'm doing all this. And I've received some sense of acknowledgement that, it's worth it. And even though, like, you know, that was it's a thing that happened in an evening that, you know, for 10 minutes, I felt like I was offered something that is like probably going to change the way that I feel generally for a relatively like over a decent longevity of time, you know? And that's where it's like, it's not like it was some massive dedication, act of dedication that was needed. It was just somebody who like really decided to like, hey, I'm gonna show up for you for 10 minutes, period. And they also like communicated with me after. She said like, you know, hey, it wasn't a plan. I just wanted to do that. I was like, I literally was led and I was like, I'm going to do what I want to do. Something she's been working on lately, like doing what she wants to do. And I was like, okay. It's like, that was just, and she was like, it was enjoyable to her to hear me receive that amount of pleasure. Like,
it is not a bad thing to hear people in pleasure.
Yeah. And I think women get shorted. Y'all get shorted most of the time. Like, I didn't realize I was short. I was like, yo, I make noise in sex. Like, I do. But I was like, oh, I've been shorting you even. And I was like, I didn't know. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know I had all that. Singing like a little girl last night. I was like, what? I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I could hit those notes. Didn't know I could hit those notes, Bonnie.
Yummy.
So, yeah. It was also one of those experiences where it was like, it was so out of body. Like it was out of body to the point where I was like, is this me right now? Like making this noise and like, I was like, and like by the time it's all said and done, like you're into it. Like if you let yourself, I was into it. So it's like, what do I need to do to help you do this? Like, I do a lot of yoga. We can make this work. Like, hold on.
I'm kind of flexible. Like, where do you want my legs?
Like, where do you, yeah. What do you, and she was just like, oh, really? Okay. Well, hold on. It's like, oh, okay. Whoa. Excuse me. And I was like, yeah. I had a feeling of like, that's why I do a lot of this stuff intuitively when if I'm about to, you know, eat some pussy bunny, I'm going to like, it's going to be like a buffet spread. I'm like, all right, let me get that there. And then we're gonna like a whole thing, right? So then like to have someone hit me with the like, okay, let me set this up.
You're like, okay.
Let me get the fuck out of your way. Excuse me. I've experienced a different side of like the receptive and the side of it, like the feminine side of sex, like where it's like being receptive and allowing someone to really control them. Cause like, I think guys think, oh, I let her get on top. She's controlling the moment. I'm like, yeah, sure. But like, how often do we like, want to like take that control back so quickly? And how can we not settle into it where this is a place where it was like, I was able to allow her to take and fully grasp control for it until she decided to give it back, you know, basically, which was kind of the other thing of like surrender to just be like, I had to surrender to the service. It was like, this is for me, but I also got to like, let it happen. It's like, I can't do anything about this. I either had to be like, hey, no, we're not doing that. Or it's like, you got me here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm fine.
And I was just like, oh, fine. You got me here.
Yeah. I think that surrender, like you're talking about the surrender and the letting go. And I think there is a sense of worthiness to like address within ourselves, right? Like what, like who am I to be like laying here to let somebody like be gifting me this time and attention? Mm-hmm. And like the tapping in, and I think about this as like what is sensuality? And if you walk around the world and if you like see somebody out to me, like, can you spot somebody where they're like, they are in touch with their sensual self. And like, what the hell does that even mean? Right? Like they're tapped into their erotic self. What does it mean to be like, have an erotic life, to be a sensual, like to be tapped into a sensual life? Like what does that even mean? And, but you know, like we can talk about this, but I do think that there is a presence that a person can have where you're tapped into that, where somebody like stands in like almost a sense of worthiness that they can receive. That they're worth it. And and I, as a single human being, I'm like, just speak for myself. I can think that at one point in the day, and another point in the day, I'll be like, nope. Right. we ride the roller coaster, and hopefully we're like going for more of that in our lives than less of that. If we're lacking sleep, it's going to be shitty. So, you know,
facts. It's a roller coaster, but I agree. Like, I mean, I think it is visible to a degree. Like it's palpable. I know when you walk in a room, like I can walk in a room and very much tell, you know, or especially if I'm in the room and someone walks in with a grand sensual energy, it drips off of people. And it's interesting because it drips in different ways. Like some people, it drips in a way where it's going to draw your attention, but you can tell they're like, that's not the person where you go invade their bubble at all. Like they're dripping sensual energy, and it's almost like you need to be welcomed to go into their space in a sense. And it's not like in a rude way. It's just like, yeah, I deal with this all the time. People always want this from me. So like, be welcomed, hold on. And other people drip it and share it freely. They're like, yes, everyone takes some. Here, you want a hug here? Oh, are you not having a great day? I'm going to rub your, it's like people are just dripping it where they're like, take some. Feel yourself a little bit, you know. I'm like more like that kind of like, I'm a little bit more like, if I see you a little stiff, I'm gonna be like, hey, what's up, what's going on, like why are you not feeling, you not feeling yourself today? Oh, you should. Like I went to an event a couple weeks ago, you know, with a lot of people that I rock climb with. It was just a celebration of just us people. Like a friend of ours was doing a thing, he's like, yo, I want to cook for everybody, so we're gonna do a little event. Cool. One of the activities we did towards the end was like going around and doing like, it was a great question because there was, everybody wrote questions on the way in and we were all answering the questions. So one of the questions was, we did high school superlatives for like the table. Like what would the high school superlative be? But it wasn't literally like the high school version. It was like the adult version. Like, what would you like, what is the words you would say about this? And it turned into like, if you were going to give somebody their flowers today, basically, what would you give them their flowers for? Like, what's the thing that you think of when you think of this person that they, how do they impact you? So it's going around, and a lot of these people, like very positively impactful people that I've met is in my experience. And I'm hearing some of their more intimate like spaces and sharing some for some of the ones I have more intimate relations with. So it was just like, you know, it was a powerful thing. And I happen to be last. I just happen to be fucking last. And it gets to me, and I'm like, I've heard all these dope things. And it gets to me, and like the person who had cooked for everybody, Opie goes, he's like, you know, Marcus is probably the person who's most likely to make you believe in yourself. And I was just like, oh, my heart. Oh, my gosh. Oof. They were like, bro, there's been, and it was like so many of the people were like, that one. And I was just like, whoa. You guys, come on. I don't need to cry. We already made it to the end of the night. I'm last. He's like, nah, seriously. He's like, man. And it was like three different people told like separate stories of like literal, just simple times where it was like, yo, I would have literally thought I was incapable of this thing. And Marcus literally like, not a tip, but like just the encouragement of a thought process to be like, why? Instead of being like, oh yeah, I can't do that. It's like, he'd be like, why not? Have you tried?
Yeah.
That was like what somebody literally said. They were like, that's Marcus's thing. He's like, have you tried? And I'm like, yo, that's like one of my, that's, I mean, it's kind of my thing. I'm like, yeah, I guess I am that person where it's like, yo, I do want to drip that sensual aspect of like, be sensual with yourself, like know yourself, be confident enough to like, say like, yo, I know and get intimate enough with this body to know like, yo, actually, no, I haven't tried and I'm gonna try. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, like, I think I can't do that. Actually, you know what? Even if I can't do it, I'm going to like work on it and make it so that I can, because I'm capable of that. I'm capable of getting better. Yeah. So it's like, I think that's kind of the lane I'm in. I'm like, yeah, take some, please. Like, please take some. And the more I discover mine, I'm like, the more I'm like last night was one of those days, like I felt it today. I was like, yeah, take some more. I got some extra today. Like, just feel yourself a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What a gift of like an experience with like in that group, and to receive that and to like sit there and witness people holding you in the ways that they can reflect back to what you've given them. Like, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's like this erotic life or the sensual life that we're kind of talking about. I think it's feeling enamored. I think it's feeling awe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's like this mixture of like enamored, like in love with life, like, and gratitude. Like, it's kind of like a weird mixture of all of it being like, why the hell not? Like, look what we get to do. Look who we get to know. Like, look that we're like alive and that I have this body and like do these things with it. And yeah, like
things.
And other things and other things. Because
I get to learn. I've learned so many new things I can do so recently. It's like, whoa.
Right?
Didn't even know there was a butt back there.
Right, like that's like the plug that's the plug for sex.
It's, well, like, we know what's on Bonnie's mind now, everybody.
It's like
we've, you know, clearly like, what... I'm gonna stop hearing your thoughts towards anal one day.
I mean, I could have worn a butt plug while recording this. That would have been more fun.
That would have been interesting. It would only been interesting if you just now told me. Like, if you had it in the whole time and then just now we're like, oh, well, speaking of plugs, you know, maybe I should take mine out and spin a hole. I'm like, that would be the most awesome, like, revealer moment.
That's true. Next time we podcast, I'm going to do it.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay. Okay. I mean, someday, it's been a while since I've done that, but I have done that. And like, been like, you know, I was going to wear a butt plug for a second. And like, if you're staying in one position, you can't feel it very much. But then like, it's like sitting down to standing up. You're like, oh, there we go.
Well, I think the thing that would have made it interesting for me, you respond very like physically to some of the stuff I say. So I think it would be interesting to watch you like rocking around and reminding yourself like, oh, there's something going on back there. Yes. Just the little shock. Like, oh yeah. Oh. Sorry. Sorry, you lost me for a second.
Yes. Okay. I do want to loop this back though, because I do feel like I want to give you a little bit of space here in specific. I mean, actually, I even want to like address that. I love watching, well, you shared on social a little bit ago, you were talking about yoga to a group of Black men and they were like asking questions. And as somebody who's willing to talk about the things and like say the uncomfortable things, which is why it's so fun to have these conversations, because that's what I feel like I'm doing everywhere. I'm like, let's just talk about the shit. Like, it's just regular life things. And so for you to be doing this and you like being the example and for everybody to be like, yeah, Marcus is like showing up this way. Like, you're like, we'll just try it. Like, or what about this? And how you are this example of a Black man living his life and loving it and navigating the world and representing wellness and owning your sensuality and the way that you're being a leader in that space. And I don't know. I really want to acknowledge that. And even that we have this conversation in a world that's still trying to figure the hell out of why color of skin is important as a indicator of worth.
Yeah.
And how we can sit and have this kind of conversation too, which feels important. To like be like, this is again the same thing as like talking about men and women. Be like, men shouldn't just be the ones who are like diving in.
Yeah. I mean, you know, ladies, get your scuba diving skills together. And fellas, take some swimming lessons so you don't drown. Those waters are deep. But no, so yeah. I mean, like all jokes aside, I have reached a place in my life where I'm like, you know, like I'm old enough that like I have like people who are younger than me in my family that I feel, you know, pseudo responsible for that are grown now. And I don't think that they've been given decent examples of, I can tell they haven't had a decent example of what a healthy man looks like in their life in so many ways. And I know that one of the main ways that I think, you know, I've seen a lot of guys, especially from my community, Black guys, Black men figure out like the financial thing. We figure out the, you know, stability thing. We figure out the cool and culturally acceptable thing. We do not figure out the relationship with ourselves thing very well. And that's where sensuality comes from. It's a deeply intimate relationship with yourself first. And I think that's the part that gets missing when in examples or expressions or even just environments and safe spaces for Black men's sensuality, not enough of us have developed the deep personal awareness needed to even consider ourselves worthy of sensual expression or sensual experience. Like Black men, most Black men don't think that we're allowed to like experience things in life that feel good that are not sex. That's why a lot of us have so much sex, because it's like the thing that we're allowed to feel good in. A lot of us don't think we're allowed to feel good in like our career. It's not encouraged. It's not like a necessity anyway. It's not an important piece. It's like, yo, do you make enough money? Okay, cool. We don't care if you feel good or if you like it. Can you support your family? Cool. We don't care if it feels good to you or if it impacts how it impacts your mind. We don't care. It's like that's been the narrative for so long that I think a lot of us have relieved ourselves from the desire to even like create lives that feel good to us. And that's disconnected us from our sense of sensuality completely. Like we won't give something that feels good to the person that we actually have to spend our entire day with. But we give things that feel good to a lot of people around us. And we subtly, over time, become bitter. We become bitter, and that space that could be available for sensuality is filled with like that kind of chip on our shoulder of like, everybody else always gets what they need, and here I am.
So in your work with other dudes and like talking about this with men, like where do people, if somebody's listening to this conversation with us and they're like, that's me, like I'm in that place, like I do not know about this relationship with myself, am I sensual, like where do they step?
I think the first step is like be honest with yourself about the questions you're asking yourself a little bit. Like if you're asking yourself the question of like, I think that exists in me, but I don't know where it is. You're already like in it. You're already experiencing it. Like that conversation is an expression of sensuality. And I think one of the easiest ways to embrace this idea for Black men is to realize like, if you're even open to the conversation, if you haven't signed off this podcast yet, if you haven't like, if this turns into a soundbite and you're like, you finish the soundbite, you're already willing to do the work. You're already doing it. Like you're opening your ears and your mind to stuff that is changing maybe your thought process around what sensuality is or your vulnerability to it. That in itself is a practice of sensuality. You are becoming familiar with how you feel about something. Now I just dare you to like be really honest about what that means to you and how what it's pulling out for you. It's going to draw you to something. Don't do the whole like, oh no, but I can't do that, because that's an excuse to not deal with yourself. Oh, but that's against the cultural rules were made up by a bunch of people who are dead. Literally.
Yeah.
And a lot of them died real sad about how their lives went. Like, let's just call it what it is. If they were Black men, I don't think a whole bunch of them died super excited about how it went down. So let's just call it what it is. If you want to live that, keep following their example. If you want something different, try something different. Like take the parts that worked. Financially, stability, environment, you know, cool, cultural acceptance. We got all that. Cool. Take those pieces. We did not figure out this like personal relationship with ourselves. We did not figure out this sensual investigation of ourselves or the expression with the people in our families. That's why a lot of Black children say that they don't expect much from their Black father in the sense of emotional support. And the ones who get it look at the other men who can't offer it as less than or like not worthy of them, understandably so. But it's like there's this disparity. The Black men who are being good fathers are creating women or partners for other Black men who are like not going to really respect the fact that they don't have the tools to show up with that same level of sensuality. So there's a large disparity now. It's like every time I met a woman who had it goes a bunch of different ways that get really tricky. But the women that I've met that have had, you know, issues with partners, a lot of them have a father who has shown them like what love could feel like. So when their father showed them a level of love that, you know, the young man they're dating can't really reciprocate at 25 years old, they're like, ah, oh, I'm done. And it's like, give him a second. Sometimes, like, I understand if, when there's actual like defaulting and things, but like, just to be completely honest, my niece is dealing with a young cat right now who, like, I love this young guy. He's great for her. I think he's got his issues just like she's got her issues, just like we all do. But as far as for her, he's great. He can handle her in her, in the midst of her traumatic moments, which is like really important, without being overly triggered and just hurtful back. He can really like navigate some of that. And sometimes I'm like, I'm looking at her like vice versa. You got to be able to do vice versa. He's helped you navigate a lot of shit. Yeah. You got to be able to give him the space to like, you understand why he lacks in some of these areas emotionally. He never had anybody show up for him. I'm literally trying to support that by like, I answer the phone for him when he's like, something's going on over there and he needs some support. And it's not like I'm going to give a ton of advice because it's like, it's my family still. So it's like, hey, hands on, hands off. But I'm going to support you because you need support. Like, you don't have anybody else to call right now. You don't have family to, like, she can call her sisters and, you know, her friends and get that support direct. He can't even call his homeboys to talk about this because none of them have a real relationship. He doesn't have anybody who's experienced anything real where he can rely on their perspective. So I literally connect them with one of my best friends who's married that I call on for, you know, perspective on this type of thing because they have a child. My boy has two kids. So I'm like, hey, let me like, this is like the appropriate connection. Yes, this is the connection that needs to be made right here. And it's like moments like that, that I think we just need more of that. Like, that's why I'm the example, because me being the example is what I genuinely feel like why he knew to call me. He was like, I don't know what I need. I know I need something and I need it for somebody I can trust, that somebody who will understand. He was like, bruh, for whatever reason, he believed in that moment that I would. And it just so happened, like, you know, the way the universe works. I was like, I actually have an idea. Intuition's telling me this is who you need to talk to. I'm just going to, he was like, yo, I'm down. Like, I'm at that point where it's like, I'll take the advice from the random guy. I'll take, that's where a lot of the brothers I talk to are at though. They're like, yo, I'll take the advice from a random guy. I just need something. I need to feel like I'm not crazy. I need to know that there's a route to navigate this. I need to know that, you know, all the work that I've done to get to this point wasn't for naught. Like, there's a lot of feelings that a lot of young cats feel in that lane of just like, yo, a lot of us feel like we got to do it alone. I get that. Like, I get that phone call a lot. I've gotten it 3 times in the past 2 weeks, you know?
Feeling like you have to do it alone.
Yeah. From a Black man, like saying like, more or less feeling like, yo, am I crazy for thinking about this way? Am I crazy for thinking that I should receive some support too? Am I tripping for wanting the person that I'm dealing with to be held accountable to the same standard that they hold me accountable to so vigorously? And I'm like, it's a broken record. And I'm like, all of y'all can't be on the same bullshit. That's impossible. Hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? For some reason, there's just this lack of grace that is sometimes given to Black men. And my partner now, like, we've been through the ringer, really, realistically. And we are recently just really figuring it out. And it's some of the stuff that she's had to say to me was like, she's created a space and it's taken a long ass time and a lot of work on her behalf too, for her to create a space that even allows me to feel safe enough to be fully vulnerable about some of the things that did cross our wires. Like, I participated in some of the wires crossing, but like, I was doing it because I've never been given the space to like process some of these things out loud. So I was literally like withholding emotion, withholding some of that transparency that I walk around with on my sleeve so candidly out in public.
Scary shit to like be honest and say the things and know that you have to, like, you want to be held in that, but then you have to hold whatever somebody else's response is to, like, is a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, learning to just be like, something I've got, she's done a lot of work to be able to give me good feedback too. So that's where it's like, I'm appreciative, because some of it, I can't always, it's not like I'm so good at self-work that I figure this all out by myself, but I place great mirrors around me to the best of my ability. I literally do. And one of the things she said to me recently was like, you know, if you ever need something from me urgently, especially emotionally, can you communicate it like directly? You don't even have to be. And I was like, I'll try to be gentle. She's like, you don't have to be gentle. Just like, be clear and direct and just tell me. She was like, even if I don't like how I receive it, if it's urgent, I need to just say, hey, I need this from you and I'm not receiving it. It's urgent. And I was just like, okay. Like, I've never had somebody say that to me. like to be like, yo, if you need something from me, tell me. The only person who's ever really said that to me and meant it in that way was my mom. Like, I don't have a dad who, I have a dad who said some shit like that before. He can't give me the shit that I need. He doesn't have it. He never had it for himself.
Yeah.
So he said it, but he didn't actually have it to give. And that's the other thing. Like, you know, empty promises do a lot of damage to Black men's hearts before we ever become a man. So by the time we're grown, an empty promise or failed words is like, ah, so much damage done already. We can't really, So something like an open, honest commitment like that was like, it was healing for me just to hear someone give me the pass to say, like, I can tell you when I need something, especially when it's urgent. Cause that's the time that a lot of us feel we choose to shut up the most. It's like, it's urgent. It's like, I got to figure this out on my own. There's no way they're going to respond this well.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that's all the things. And hold on. I just got to, I'm really grateful to like hear about this relationship you have currently. And I don't know. I feel like that's even like, that could be the walk away that anybody take ever. There's a lot of things that anybody could walk away from this podcast with, but like, even in that, like, you're like, what if we all walk away from this hour together and be like, I'm just going to go up to the significant other in my life, this friend, this parent, this lover, whatever, and be like, this is a relationship I care about. And if you have something that you need from me, will you please just tell me? Like, it can be urgent. Like, I want you to be clear and direct. And this makes me think about teaching yoga. Both of us are yoga teachers, right? Where I'm like, we hold like this clear and commanding and concise. Like, you put your hand here, you lift your other leg up here, you do this here. And we couple it with compassion to be like, you might not be able to do this. So maybe it looks like this, or maybe you have your fingers tented, or maybe that knee is down, or maybe this is this, or maybe it's wider here. But like, in general, clear, concise command, this is what we're doing. Compassion, right? Like, there's like this kind of play between the two. And I feel like this is exactly the same thing where it's like, be clear, tell me the thing you want. And come to me. Don't like beat around the bush. Like, be like, well, or beat around the bush, but not
that. And I think the part that was,
keep going. Sorry. I totally derailed us.
I was delayed. It was delayed. I was like, well, yeah. I was like, serious point. Wait, what?
I know. Okay. Serious point. Yes.
No. It's like. In the breath of command language, as far as yoga, like the purpose behind that language is to find clear ways, like in the simple, like this is something I learned actually from Krista, interestingly enough, like all the yoga boga people's coming up, but like the simplest and most efficient way to get what you actually mean across to who you're communicating with. And I think like that approach of it, of like, as a yoga instructor, I do take that like very much into account. And I think it's like, you know, the permission to do so and not to disregard the need to be gentle, but even the permission to say like, hey, it is more important that you're direct and clear than it is that you're gentle. I think that's, I would say that's true in a yoga class too. It's like, I'd rather someone put their foot in the right place and not place themselves in harm's way rather than them like the way I cued it. Because they can tell me after class, like, hey, I didn't really like that kid. I'm like, all right, I'm going to figure out some better way to say it. Did you understand what I meant though? And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, we got to find a happy medium because I'm not willing to sacrifice clarity for the sake of like the compassion. Like that's I think a space that we all get into. And I think it's way more dangerous than we think. Like we call ourselves being compassionate, but we're lacking clarity. And by lacking clarity, you're actually not being compassionate.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, leave the yoga room out of this. I think it is just like talking about that as far as relationships and relating goes and communication and like, you're absolutely right. It's like not compassionate at all because a side effect, I think, of it is that nobody gets what they want.
Nobody. So it's not compassionate to the other person or to us.
Or to yourself.
We steal from everyone when we lack clarity.
Nobody's eating anything.
Nope. no bush is being beat, you're literally going to be beating around the bush the whole time. It's sad.
Oh gosh.
Or you'll either be beating or be around the
bush. We're doing good. We are doing good. Thank you. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking about having sex with me again. Thanks for talking about having sex. Thanks for talking about.
I was like, are those two separate statements or is that one altogether?
those are two separate. Those are and just well, like
you're,
this.
You're welcome for both.
just being a real human. I mean, I think that's like the whole shtick of this, right? Of being like, how can we like have unscripted conversations that are just real, that kind of are exactly that idea where people are like, do I have to be alone in this? And hopefully that these are the conversations like, oh, actually, I don't have to be alone. Actually, there's other people out here talking about these things, doing these things, or like there's a piece in their story that lights me up. And I think the way that you're sharing and the way that you're owning the hell out of what you want and what you're doing is 100% doing that everywhere you're going.
Well, thank you, Bonnie. It's nice to hear that coming from you.
It's true. True story. So next time you're on the podcast, I'll bring a butt plug.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Thank you all for listening. While in the show notes, I'll share the info from Marcus. So connect with him, reach out, and let us know what you think about the podcast. Let us know what you love. Let us know what your takeaway is. Feel free to email us or find us on the gram and keep it sexy. Thank you so much for getting your sexy on with me today. Hearing what you loved, what you learned, or what you're going to share with your lover makes me so damn happy. You can jump on my weekly Sexy Sunday email. You can find that link in the show notes and we can connect through there. And it would super turn me on if you left a rating and review about how much this podcast is giving you life. Until next time. Mwah.